How many of you remember back a long time ago, this is 1964, a movie came out called Fate is the Hunter? Glenn Ford, Rod Taylor, Suzanne Pluchette. Anyway, it was a story. It did not make a big hit, but it was a very interesting story about a man's faith in his friend, and he persisted in that faith until he could prove that his friend was innocent. And it was about an airplane crash and everything. Well, in this sermon, I've entitled it, Faith is the Hunter. Not Fate is the Hunter. Faith is the Hunter. And it's about a woman's faith. It's a faith in Christ that persists until she has finally captured his word of healing. So Jesus had a run-in with the Jews, and he had gone to Tyre. It's a Gentile region. And you have to say, well, what was he doing that? It doesn't say why he went there. It just said he withdrew and he went there. Was it for rest, you know, from fatigue? Or was it for refuge from being rejected because he had just had that run-in with the Jews and, you know, that kind of thing? Or was it a sign that there was a future ministry in store for the Gentiles? Or was it simply his Father's directive by the Holy Spirit who told him what to do, where to go, what to say? I tend to believe the latter. I believe his Father wanted his son to meet a woman whose faith would teach us all a great lesson. And this is the lesson, of course, my sermon sentence for you who like to hear what the sermon sentence is. Faith pursues God until it captures His Word. Faith pursues God until it captures His Word. Her quest was passionate. In verse 22, Lord, Son of God, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. This woman's faith appealed to the right source for hope and help in this area of healing. Son of David. This was a recognition. She'd somehow heard about, hey, the Jews have a Messiah. It's the Son of David. And she'd heard what? That he casts out demons. He heals people. You know, so she'd heard about that. So now she calls him, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. In a sense, she's turning from her own Tyre and Sidon had a lot of different kind of gods, but she was turning from her own false gods to the true God. And you know, whenever we do turn in faith, we first have to have repentance, this idea of changing, turning around, changing our mind about something. And true faith is always preceded by repentance. So calling him Lord was an appeal. And it was an appeal of reliance. It wasn't just an appeal of rhetoric. You know, Lord can be used as a nice, polite title to flatter someone who's has a superior rank. You just want to flatter that person. But she called him Lord because he was her child's only source of help. She knew it. She knew that she needed healing for her child, and he was the only source for it. Her faith was asking for unmerited favor because she said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And this shows that she had no trust in her status. Of course, she couldn't very well have trust in her status. He was a Jew, a Jewish rabbi, and she was a Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite, a woman that the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with. She had also no trust in her own bargaining power. What do I have to offer to him? You know, and we as sinners coming to Christ for the first time, we have to say, like the hymn, nothing in my hand I bring, only to thy cross I cling. That is ours. We have nothing in our hands. In fact, if we do have something we're holding on to, a lot of times we have to let go to hold on to his hands. Well, this woman was a huntress. Say a hunter, but she's a huntress. And she was chasing after God. Her faith sought a powerful powerful word from God's Messiah, the Jewish God that she was now calling upon, to free her daughter from demonic torment. And she persisted in her quest in spite of obstacles. Her quest was persistent in this. We see in verse 23 and 24, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." And I said that to the disciples. It's like he's ignoring her in a sense. He's just saying it to the disciples. So this woman was undaunted in spite of all these discouraging results and of her quest, her hunt for the right word that would be the word of healing. First, Jesus did not answer her a word. He gave her the silent treatment. But no answer is not a no answer. And she didn't take it that way. And there is a quote. It says, "Silence is God's waiting room for divine appointments." You know how you have to wait in a waiting room for appointments? Well, silence is God's waiting room for divine appointments. So, she turns to the disciples. And what's their solution? Their solution is to turn to Christ and say, "Send her away. Look, she's a Canaanite woman, a Syrophoenician. She keeps crying out after us. Help me, help me." Does Jesus do it? Does he send her away? Does he tell her to leave? No, he does something else. He tells his disciples the theological barrier of her quest, of her request. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." In other words, she's right. "I'm the Lord, the Son of David. I'm after the lost sheep of Israel right now. There is a future door for the Gentiles. There's a future door for the Gentiles, but she's knocking on the Old Testament door of promise to God's covenant people. She's knocking on that door." To this desperate mother who was driven by her daughter's misery, future door or not, future door or not, she keeps on knocking. She just keeps on knocking. She's determined. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. Her faith did not give up, but kept steadily aiming at her target. She was a hunter. She was after something, and she was steadily aiming at the target. She did not turn to the side. Her faith did take on a new posture. It was the posture of a beggar, of a slave, of a hostage. She was down on her knees, and she no longer approached him on Jewish ground, "Son of David." She just said, "Lord." And she was appealing on the basis of faith alone. She wanted his help, but she was appealing now on the basis of faith alone. "Help me. Lord, help me. Give me the word that will end the agony of my demon-infested daughter. Help me, Lord." This woman's faith was serious, it was passionate, and it was persistent. It was a persistent hunt that she was on to capture Christ's healing word. And despite the barriers, they kept on throwing barriers in front of her. Despite the barriers, despite the obstacles, she would not stop until she heard him say that her precious daughter would be set free. But did it seem that way? Did it seem that way? It didn't, in a way, that her quest would prevail. You can read that two ways. It didn't seem that her quest would prevail, but my next point is, her quest would prevail. Verse 26, this is why it doesn't seem this way. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." Oh, well. I just want a show of hands. How many have ever sort of like jumped a little bit at that verse? I have. Come on, let's see some hands here. All right, I'm not the only one in the room. No, it's been hard to read that verse sometimes. Is this the caring Jesus that we know? Yes, it's him. But we must remember some things. He came to bring sinners to true repentance and to humble faith. Well, what's more humbling than being called a dog, you know? Even if it's a pet dog. And that's what this word literally means, a pet dog. But it's still a dog. Also recall this. Jesus did only what he saw his Father doing. It says, I speak from my Father. I hear from my Father. I do only what I see my Father doing. So the real question is, what was God the Father looking for in this woman? That's the question. What was God seeking in this woman? And then, too, we got to note this. Every time that he responded to this woman, he was getting closer to her. Now, you think about it. First of all, silence. Secondly, ignoring her, but speaking in her presence indirectly. She was talking to her, but he was speaking to the disciples, so indirectly talking to her. Now he's personally addressing her. So with each of his responses, he's getting closer and closer to a personal encounter. And she has just heard something that was probably the most discouraging word that she could hear. But here, listen to her reply in verse 27. "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Oh boy. You know what we call that? We call that checkmate. You know, really, she had cornered her prey and she was closing in on him and she knew it. She'd caught him. She'd captured him and she knew it. He can't refuse me now. How can he refuse me now with a statement like that? Her faith had caught Christ in his own words. "Okay, Master, you say I'm a dog. Well, give me a dog's rights then. Give me a dog's rights." Her faith, it's like her faith grabbed on to the hand that was pushing her away, and she used that grip to pull herself closer to Christ. And he was pulling himself closer to her at the same time in a very interesting way. And her faith said, "Okay, let the children eat first. Any crumbs left over from your hand have enough power to heal my daughter." And what did Jesus say? I mean, she had won. She had won. Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. She had hunted for a healing word. But who was the real hunter? Who was the real hunter? Have you ever heard those comedy lines? Maybe you don't watch a lot of those old movies. I watch them sometimes, like Abbott and Costello and Laurel and Hardy. Those they had comebacks for each other. And even the Three Stooges had these kind of things where they had a comedy line. And here it is. "Now I've got you right where you want me." "Now I've got you right where you want me." And that's where Jesus wanted her. You know? It was like, yeah, she's caught him. But Jesus was always hunting for great faith. But he found it only in a Gentile woman, this Gentile woman. He found it in her, and he says she has great faith. And he found it in a Roman centurion. He had great faith, but never in his own people. Never in his own people does he ever say to any of them, about any of them, "Great is your faith." He often says, "You have little faith," but not great faith. These two Gentile people had great faith. Jesus did want her to enjoy the children's bread, but that could happen only if her faith surpassed that of the children, and it did. It far surpassed their faith. It was great faith. Jesus had pulled from this woman's heart. In a sense, this was really God's activity here in a very strange way, where we say this is hard to understand how he did this, but he was pulling something from this woman's heart. A new standard for prayer, a new standard of great faith, showing all believers how they should pray. And G. Campbell Morgan, who also had a powerful message on this passage that was similar to this one, he said this about this woman. Against prejudice, she came. Against silence, she persevered. Against exclusion, she proceeded. Against rebuff, she won. And it's such a clear picture when you see it that way. We need this woman's faith. This woman's great faith. A faith that pursues God until it captures His Word. Her story teaches us that great faith is passionate. Our heart is in it. Our heart is in it. We are determined in our prayer for the answer to this prayer request. And it's persistent. It doesn't take no for an answer. Just keeps on knocking. Knock, knock, and it shall be open, right? Jesus said that. Keep on knocking. It keeps on hoping when it looks hopeless to do that. It keeps on hoping. And her example teaches us that great faith feeds and grows strong on humility. You know, humility. Yes, we are to come boldly to the throne of grace with humility. There's that balance. We're to come boldly, or not to be afraid and not to come. No, come boldly to the throne of grace, but with humility, as she did. Finally, her victory. She won. Her victory teaches us that there's a yes that sometimes lies hidden in the heart of God. And great faith holds on until it hears that yes from the lips of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, this is a passage that we should probably read over often before we start our prayer time. This is a passage and a story that we should look at the result and say yes. Because it seems like some things are just hard. Demonic possession. Psychologists want to ignore it and say it doesn't really exist. And yet missionaries see it on the mission field. Many people have seen it in this country. Yes, the results of demonic possession, it's hard to get people set free. Not for you. Not for your authority. So, Lord, I pray, Father, we'll see this woman's faith, this great faith, and that we will look for your yes and keep holding on and keep persisting in prayer until we hear it from your lips. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.